Hello, everybody. Welcome to STEM Talks with Brian. I'm your host, Brian De Leon Vargas, and today we're going to be exploring the topic of racial inequities in STEM. This phenomena has long been observed by educators and social activists alike. This phenomena has been called by many names, but in this podcast, we'll talk about it in the form of opportunity gaps. Opportunity gaps specifically talk about a gap in opportunities for students to take academically rigorous courses and receive high-quality education. The gap is oftentimes drawn along racial lines or differences in a student's family's income. These differences have been long-standing and have compounded into a growing divide over the past few decades. I've recently been reading a book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers that explores how minute differences at the beginning of a person's life can compound into completely different outcomes depending on what those differences were. One of the key themes was that beginning life with a small advantage can compound into you thriving in a field, while beginning life with a small disadvantage could compound you into never having success in areas in which that disadvantage was related to. Thus, as educators, it is important to be cognizant of the effects our school system has on perpetuating generational cycles of inaccess to high-quality education and post-secondary academic pursuits, especially in areas of STEM. So this predicament begs the question, what can we as educators do to fight this opportunity gap that exists among our student populations? We can start by thinking of how we can make STEM education more inclusive. In one book by the National Research Council on STEM Integration, I learned of how high-quality STEM education must be paired with an emphasis on process over performance on single-time exams. This pairs perfectly with our goal of making STEM more accessible to students because it allows us to give students more opportunities to explore different topics in their own ways and display their learning in more natural and iterative processes. This stands in stark contrast to standardized exams, which mainly benefit students who are already high performers and tend to place them into classes that are more advanced. Which brings me to my next point, that in order for STEM education to be equitable, we can no longer continue with tracking in STEM courses. There was a podcast by Jennifer Gonzalez on her sixth episode of Cult of Pedagogy, where she's talking about she's answering different questions from her audience. And one of them was, hey, I have this class where there's a lot of students of mixed abilities. What can I do to make sure that all students are engaged? And one of the great suggestions that we can use as STEM educators in our own classes is to provide students with tiered assessments so that they do not become disengaged out of boredom if they think the content is too easy, or out of confusion if they feel lost. Allowing for choice in what students want to pursue in class is one of the most powerful tools that we have as educators to ensure that we are keeping all of our students engaged, but also giving them opportunities to display their funds of knowledge in activities that they are interested in and ways that make sense to them. It is extremely important when talking about mixed ability classes that we do not have differences in expectation of performance for students, but that we treat them all as mathematicians and scientists in their own right. There is a wonderful book by Lydia Gonzalez called Bad at Math. In this book, Lydia talks about how specifically about a trope that exists in our society that only some people can be good at math. Everyone else, you can do math, but it will never be an innate ability. And Lydia goes on to explore how we can dismantle these ideas in our own students. But I thought one of the biggest takeaways is that if you are to expect your student to be a high-performing mathematician, you have to treat them like one. You have to give them opportunities for them to authentically apply mathematics with other peers that may have different abilities than they do. It's all about collaboration. And that is one of the other pillars of having a mixed ability classroom, is that mixed ability classrooms can only function with collaboration. And by collaboration, I don't mean just sitting around a table and looking at each other's answer. It means more of co-constructing knowledge with their peers. This is something that a lot of students might feel uncomfortable at first, especially if they come from more traditional educational backgrounds where they were expected to just listen and absorb knowledge instead of provide their own insights, their own specific ways of doing things. This in no way means that you are giving up a certain level of rigor in your classrooms. In fact, it's the opposite. In order for these classrooms to be successful, you have to include some level of self-reflection, which is why I really love this article by William talking about embedding formative assessment in STEM classrooms. In his article, William calls for educators to allow for students to co-construct how they're going to display their academic growth. And in doing so, this requires students to take responsibility of their own learning and actively guide their learning journeys. While this may sound like a lot of pressure to put on a student, the good thing about having these collaborative mixed ability classrooms is that that's what students are there for. They're here to help each other in those classrooms, and they are there to build each other up, to raise each other's ideas, to critique each other's ideas. It's all part of the process. STEM is built on the foundation of trying different novel ideas and testing them out, putting them through these rigorous tests, and that's what our classrooms should reflect. We can no longer be for systems such as tracking that perpetuate an inequitable system that benefits those who have and punishes those who have not. In this podcast, we have explored how differences at the beginning of a child's life can determine the final outcomes of a child's educational journey, thus making systems that track students into different ability levels makes that unfair. Thus, we should put more of our attention on how we can successfully run mixed ability classrooms and how collaboration is one of those key aspects that cannot be left out, and how mixed ability classrooms are there to challenge all students through iterative processes that push reflection and push critique of different ideas that pop up in the classrooms. Looking forward, we should continue to challenge ourselves and our other fellow educators to keep high expectations for all students in our classes, and to treat each and every one of our students like the true scientist or mathematician that they really are. Thank you for listening.